This story is one of a series of 10 stories of missing experience that are comprised from narrative interviews with adults who've been reported as missing and who have returned and who contributed to the ESRC-funded Geographies of Missing People research project.
A lot of it is to do with mental illness. That's my personal experience, and a lot of people aren't comfortable admitting it. But I have to, because it's the only way I'm going to manage not to be reported missing again and be pushed to go running away and living on the streets again. That's what I did. I ran away and I lived in cheap hotels and then on the street when I was reported missing. They had put me on an informal psychiatric section so I could come and go as I wished, as long as I was back at 9 o'clock at night or something. So in the afternoon, I just packed up my things and walked out. I was just trying to go as fast as I could. It was quite a relief to get out of there, to actually be free again. I don't know at that point if I realised that the police might be looking for me, but because I had absconded from hospital, of course I would have been registered as missing. On reflection, in the time that I had been in there, I'd seen quite a few situations where people had disappeared and a process to find them was put in place. When I calmed down and thought about it, I knew that if I had been reported missing, that someone was going to come round my house and my mother would insist that I go back to the hospital. So I decided to go and have a few nights in a cheap hotel. I took out a lot of cash and booked in 10 nights in different hotels during the time I was away. I gave a false name and paid cash, just in case the police came round and checked. I figured I would be able to make it okay as long as I could get through the first few nights. I went to a place in town where I thought it would be hard to find me. There's a lot of people in that part of town and you can easily disappear in a crowd. I was pretty secure in the fact that people wouldn't know me. Now, London is a big place. I'm pretty sure my main focus was not getting caught at the time. It was just making it through for as long as possible. I think if it had been a completely alien environment, then it would have been a little bit harder, you know, whereas this was familiar and safe. It was a proximity thing. I was far enough away not to be noticed, but still in a familiar area. I was missing for 26 days. The first 10 days, I was virtually a permanent resident in the pub around the corner from the hotels, and the pub is used by tourists passing through constantly. I just went in there and got talking to people, you know, escaping again, I suppose. That's what I did the first 10 days. I'd go to the pub for about lunchtime and probably stayed till mid-evening, but after that, I stopped drinking, and for the rest of the time, I was pretty sober, hanging about in a little square with benches and trees. I would just sit for an hour or so a day in the square and eat something, eat a snack and read the paper. Occasionally I'd go back to into the pub for a drink and then just get busy trying to get food together. I was fairly clear-headed. I wasn't sort of wandering about aimlessly not knowing what I was doing. I was escaping, I suppose. And what I ended up doing was staying away for a whole month. And I wasn't that far away from where I lived. I was only down the road staying in, like, cheap hotels. And then, after the big money ran out, I was staying on a building site nearby, having a crap time, really. I kind of expected that I would be found really quickly. I don't know why I thought that, but I thought with a load of friends out there and I was walking about the streets and you become acutely aware of CCT cameras everywhere. And I was drawing money out the bank at first and you think, well, they can trace me that way. But they didn't. It went into a fourth week before anything really happened and I was surprised. And part of me really didn't want to be found and the other part did. I was only about a mile or two from my office and where I live. I got into routines. Made my way to Tesco at the shopping centre and used that for washing when the hotel nights ran out. And there were some clothes left behind some charity bins, so I had changes of clothes. I spent most of my time just trying to find somewhere where I could just sleep, or possibly make a shelter after I ran out of money. The building site had a sort of shack at one side, like a derelict building that I used to sleep in too. Basically, my time was spent, you know, looking for shelter and looking for food from the bins. And my mobile just suddenly stopped working, so I couldn't contact anyone even if I'd wanted to. I was sitting in the square one day, and this guy came up to me. There was a few homeless people hanging about in the square, and one comes up to say, "They're looking for you, man." That was the first indication I had that anyone had been looking for me. He told me, "Two women were here yesterday." And then some other homeless guys turn up and they say, "Oh, is that the guy?" And they said they were shown a picture of me. And that made me jump and really think, you know, they're actually out there looking for me. The next day, I was walking down towards the square and there's a tap on the shoulder and it was two policemen. It turned out it was my boss and my friends who had been looking for me. Up until week four, the bank had not been revealing where I was withdrawing money because of data protection. I don't know what persuaded them to do it in the end, but eventually they did. And so they knew roughly what area I was in, hence the reason my boss had been walking around with a poster. Apparently, the entire office had been prepared to come out looking for me the following week if they had not found me at the weekend. There was going to be a gang of them, you know, taking it street by street, hotel by hotel, but they found me first. Two of them had been walking about the square and had thought they had seen me, but they'd been told by the police to call them first and not to go up to me in person. And so they did, and the police came looking. The police wanted my name and details. I think I gave them a false name at first, but they radioed in while I was standing there. They soon knew who I was and they took me back. As for my friends, I thought some of them would be quite angry, but if they were, they hid it well because all they ever showed was great relief that they had found me. Not one bad, not one angry word was ever said, which was nice. My friends and colleagues didn't push it when I did get back to work months later. I mean, they didn't ask me lots of difficult questions, they just sat back and talked about normal things. They didn't sort of say, "Why did you do it? Where did you go, you know? What were you thinking?" Being listed as a missing person is something I don't think people know how to talk about when you return.